Why does the cry of the disciples ring so poignantly in our hearts? Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. It's the cry of an orphan wanting to be loved. Deep in our hearts, everyone desires God. It's obvious to us, however, that God is far beyond us. All throughout human history, everywhere, every time, humans have had this view of God where he is beyond. He's other. From the ancient Babylonians to the Enlightenment deists, like many of our founding fathers, it meant that God or gods just really didn't care about us people. For Muslims, the beyondness of God means that he cares really only that they obey his will. For many agnostics, it looks in the form of just a desire to try to control everything through science. God is so beyond we can't know him. Let's just try to take care of things ourselves. But it's only in Judaism that God reveals that he personally cares for his people, that he comes near to them to be with them. And then it's only in Catholicism that that finds its ultimate fulfillment, that in our baptism, we become his adopted sons and daughters. He dwells in us. And he dwells in us most especially when he comes to us in the Eucharist. Yes, when they ask, Lord, teach us to pray, they're asking the question that rings in all of our hearts. How can I know God? And how can he know me? Brothers and sisters, if we want to live as Catholics in a way that is truly actually fulfilling, in a way that is transformative, so that we shine, as it says in the Book of Wisdom, shine like sparks in stubble, that we show the world that there's a different way. There's a way of joy and a way of hope. If we want to live that way, just simply coming to Mass on Sunday and that's it, isn't going to cut it. We receive a great treasure, a treasure of inestimable value in the Eucharist. But if we don't do anything to carry that on for a week, we bury that treasure. Even something as little as 5 to 10 minutes of prayer a day will be of great value. It'll work wonders in how we know God and how we know that God knows us and loves us. So then the question becomes, like the apostles, how are we to pray? There are many different ways, certainly. The rosary and the Divine Mercy Chaplet are always good. Spending some time with Scripture. Just conversing with God as you would a friend, as a spouse. It's always good. But it's also important to listen. Mother Teresa said that in the silence of the heart, God speaks. If you face God in prayer and silence, God will speak to you. So however you choose to pray, be it something like the rosary or just a free conversation, what are the types of prayer? What are the steps of prayer? And traditionally, there are five different types that we can then see kind of throughout our prayer life. The first, always, is praise. Praise of God. To acknowledge God's love, his goodness, his wisdom, his power. To give God honor and glory. And this awareness of who God is when we give him praise, this awareness of how he's perfect, how he is beyond us, this awareness of him makes us aware of ourselves too. And we realize that we are his creatures, that he made us. We come to know our littleness and our imperfections. And so this brings us to the second type of prayer, petitions. We ask God for what we need. We humbly admit that we're not him. I'm not God. And we ask for things like good health, a stable job, peace in our family, peace in our country, the strength to be better, to grow in virtue, to grow in holiness. And when we ask for these things that we know that we need now, our memory turns to when we've asked for things in the past. And we look at how God has answered our prayers in the past, and that gives us confidence to ask for things today. And seeing how God has answered our prayers in the past leads us to our third type of prayer, thanksgiving. Gratitude, brothers and sisters, is at the heart of the Christian life. Everything we have, everything, is a gift from God. The one thing that is not a gift from God is our sins. He did not give us that. But everything else in our life is from him. We have so much to be grateful for. Then when we consider all that we have to be thankful for, it's natural that our minds turn to those who are not as fortunate. And so we come to the fourth type of prayer, intercession. In intercessory prayer, we ask God to help others, to help others. Others that we know, others that we don't know. It could be a complete stranger. You know, as you're driving down the road and someone's angry and cutting people off, we can pray for that person. Pray that they know God's peace. Pray for their safety and the safety of others. And as you continue driving, and you see someone asking for money, pray for them too. Right? And lift them up in intercession. This really manifests love. The heart of intercessory prayer is charity. Because in love, love's not an emotion. Okay? Love is to desire and to will what is good for another person. And that's exactly what we do when we pray for them. And this exercise of love leads us out of ourselves. And it leads us to the fifth type of prayer, adoration. Because in adoration, we are moved by love to contemplate the one who is love himself. There's this beautiful story about St. John Vianney. And he saw this old man sitting in the back of church. Just sitting. And after a few days, St. John Vianney goes up to him. And he sees that he's praying. But he asks him, "How do you pray? What is your prayer life?" And the man just tells him, simply, "I look at God, and he looks at me. I just look at God, and he looks at me." How much is contained in the glance of God? How much to see him face to face. And this This is something that we can do all the time. We have an adoration chapel right here in the church. To look at him, to have him look at us, to see us for who we are. And in that glance, to tell us what he sees. To tell us how he loves us. And so the cycle begins again, leading us to praise of him, but at a deeper and deeper level each time. I know that it's easy to get discouraged in prayer. How can I know that God is listening? Where is God? Everybody experiences this. Everyone. Even great saints. Saint Therese, at the end of her life, experienced a great darkness. Mother Teresa, for decades, was totally dry in her prayer. Couldn't feel God. Where is God? Everyone experiences dryness in prayer from time to time. But Jesus tells us this morning to keep knocking. Right? In the gospel, the parable that he tells about the neighbors, when does it take place? It takes place at midnight, when all is darkness. And what does he say? To keep knocking. There's this beautiful image in the Song of Songs, one of the books of the Old Testament, where the beloved is seeking after her lover. She sees him at the beginning of the book, and then he hides. And she goes on this great journey, searching after him, asking everyone, "Have you seen him? Have you seen him?" And it's in this journey that her love for him grows. So when it seems like God has withdrawn from us, it's an invitation to seek him out, to yearn for him. And in that, to let our love for God grow. Where is God? Just keep knocking. Yes, the disciples request, "Lord, teach us to pray." It rings in our hearts because we want to know who God is. We want to know that he loves us. Thankfully, Jesus answers the question. And he gives us the prayer of the Our Father. But he gives us more than just that. He gives us his personal example, how often he goes off just to pray to God in the silence. We think about his prayer before he raises Lazarus. But he answers it most perfectly with the Last Supper and the crucifixion, when he gives us the Mass, the most perfect prayer. Because it's here that we have all of those five types of prayer. Throughout the whole Mass, but especially at the beginning, when we sing the Gloria, we have the prayer of praise. And after we recite the Creed, we bring to God our petitions for ourselves and our intercessions for others. And the Eucharist itself means thanksgiving. And then, when I raise up the precious body and blood, and after we all receive, we kneel in adoration of the one who loves us, of the one who gave his life for us that we might live with him. The Mass, it's the most perfect prayer. St. John Vianney said it, that it's the most perfect prayer, it's the most perfect offering that one can give. He said it's even more powerful than martyrdom, because in martyrdom is the sacrifice of a man for God, but the Mass is the sacrifice of God for man. And that's how we know that he loves us. And so if you ask, where is God? Keep on praying. Just keep knocking. Just keep knocking.